We have a good audience gathered together this morning. A number of us are coughing and sneezing and all that kind of thing. And me and Anna are right there with you. Hopefully that will pass and we will be back to our good health once again. We have several visitors with us this morning, and we are thankful that you have decided to come and to worship God with us here at College View. Our only desire in coming together this morning is, has been stated in our prayer, as we have sung in our songs, as we have even remembered in the Lord's death, to glorify and to magnify our God and our Father. And we trust that we have been doing that this morning, if our hearts have been attuned to His, and we have sung to Him with all of our heart, and we have approach His throne of mercy and grace in prayer with heartfelt thanks and praise for Him. And as we have gathered around the table of Jesus Christ this morning, surely our minds have gone back to that amazing love that God has shown for each one of us. As we open His Word this morning, we would also like to honor and to glorify God as we look into the part of His mind that He has chosen to reveal to us and to see what we can learn about our great God and how He desires for us to live as His children. For the better part of this decade, there has been a newborn baby in our house. Abigail started things off in 2010. Elijah came into this world in 2012. And Joshua made his entrance in 2015. But now each of our children have moved on to the next stages of life, and all we have from those days are the memories. The memories of holding our son or our daughter for the first time. The memory of watching our son or our daughter sleep soundly in their crib. The memory of seeing them turn over for the first time on their own. That's all we have now, are those memories. And although we can't turn back the clock and relive those days, we can learn a lot, just a whole lot, from newborn babies. This morning we want to turn our attention to Peter's instruction and admonition to be like newborn babies. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 is where we will be reading and studying from this morning. So you might want to open there in your Bible to that passage. If you don't have that handy, I have it here on the screen that you can read along with us. Peter opens the second chapter of this first epistle by saying, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." As we look at these three verses, you might think there's not a whole lot that is said there. But there is a whole lot that is said here, and I want to relate Peter's instructions in these first three verses again to this thought of being like newborn babies. So as we begin thinking about that this morning, we want to first of all ask the question, how is it that we as Christians, how is it that we as children of God today, we may be well on into the later stages of life even, but how is it that we can be like newborn babies? Number one, as Peter begins this chapter and the text that we have read, he says to us in verse 1 that we can be like newborn babies by putting away all traces of self and sin. If you notice there at verse 1, Peter begins this chapter with a word, therefore. Many times maybe we kind of just in our reading or our study of the Bible, we overlook some of those words, but they are all important. Every word in the Word of God is very important because it is from the mind and the mouth of God. So Peter begins the chapter by saying, therefore, and really you have to go back to what he has said in chapter 1, at least back to verse 17, and we're not going to take the time this morning to read back to that particular point in the text. But based on what he has said from 17 through 25, based on the truths that these brethren that Peter is writing here in this book, that they had been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and based on the truth that they had been born again by the eternal Word of God, he says to them here at the beginning of chapter 2 at verse 1, therefore they must rid themselves, they must put aside, they must lay aside, whatever your translation says, they must rid themselves of every trace of self and sin. And that's why Peter says what he does there at verse 1. He says that they were to put away all, notice. He says they were to put away all malice. Malice, maybe we don't use that word every day. It is used in the legal profession. But it really just is the idea of someone who has an evil intent to hurt someone else, to harm or to damage someone else. And he says we are to put that all away from ourselves. He says that we are to put away all deceit. Deceit is very akin to lying, isn't it? It is the idea really of concealing or distorting truth, kind of twisting the truth with the intent to mislead someone and to make someone think something that you have said is true when it really is not. He says to put away all hypocrisy. We know what that is, don't we? That is the idea of appearing really to be something or someone that we are not. He says that we are to put away all envy. That is coveting what someone else has. That we are to put away all slander. Slander, again, is not a term that we just use in our everyday language. It is used, again, in the legal profession. It is used in the political realm a lot. It's used even in social media. But it is the idea of false, malicious speech that seeks to ruin someone's character, someone's reputation. As we might say in our vernacular today, to take someone's good name and just run it through the gutter. To destroy that particular person in any way that we can. He says that we are to put away all of these sins that are selfish at their core. And when we think about newborn babies, we think oftentimes of little beings that are totally innocent of sin as they come into this world. We think about little beings that are totally free of self. Sure, they have needs, but they are not selfish as we adults are selfish. Newborn babies have no ill will toward anyone else, that they don't put on airs to impress or to deceive someone else. They are not hypocritical. They are not coveting what others have. They are totally innocent and totally free of self. Therefore, for those of us who are Christians, as those who have been born again in Christ, we must be like babies in relation to all things that are evil. At the same time, we must be like adults in relation to all things that are good. As you think about that particular thought, perhaps the Apostle Paul states it better than I did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 20, he says here to the church at Corinth and to us, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants or babies, but in your thinking be mature. It is interesting to me that Paul gives this command to a church that was childish in its thinking. Do you remember back in this same first letter to the church at Corinth, back in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, that Paul, as he was writing to them, not just as he was writing about how they were to use their spiritual gifts and how they were to conduct themselves in the assembly of the saints in chapter 14, but as he is writing to them about all kinds of spiritual matters and answering spiritual questions all throughout this book of 1 Corinthians, he says to them at chapter 3 at verse 1, that I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? There were some, perhaps many, in the church here at Corinth that even though they were Christians, even though they had been born again in Christ, even though they had been forgiven of their sins, as Peter talks again back in 1 Peter chapter 1, by the precious, unblemished, unspotted blood of Jesus Christ, that they were not growing as they should have been, that they were in their thinking not mature, that they were thinking like babies, they were thinking like children. But in those things that they were to put away that we just spoke of from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, that there was still jealousy, there was still enmity, there was still strife in them. Those things they needed to put away. So it's interesting to me that Paul says what he does in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, because here in this chapter, chapter 14, they were being childish in their use of spiritual gifts. They were taking those spiritual gifts that God had given them, and they were using them to make themselves look good, to puff themselves up. Self had not taken a back seat. They had not gotten rid of self. Rather than using those spiritual gifts for the purpose that God intended them to be used, and that is to edify the church there at Corinth. So Paul tells them in this passage to be mature in their minds, while at the same time they were to be babies. They were to be like infants in evil, in selfish sin. If we as Christians are going to be like newborn babies, we must rid our hearts, our mouths, our lives of every trace of self and sin. Coming back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 2, at verse 2, the Apostle Paul seems to make this connection also with how we are to be like newborn babies. And he says that like newborn babies, we are to long for the pure milk of the Word. You know, if you had to name the number one thing that newborns crave, what would it be? Maybe we could give a lot of answers that would be correct to that particular question. But I think the one thing that newborn babies crave is milk, isn't it? And it doesn't take them very long to find out where that comes from. And once they have found out the source of that, they return over and over and over again. And once they figure out where it comes from, they cannot seem to get enough of it. That is the way God designed for little humans to be. In like manner, though, as Peter puts this image into our mind that as newborn babies are longing or craving for milk, in like manner, the pure, spiritual, sincere milk, which is the Word of God, ought to be what we as Christians are constantly craving. You know what? As Peter describes the Word of God in those particular terms, I believe he is telling us that that is what the Word of God is, that it is pure milk, that it is spiritual milk, that it is sincere milk. I don't think he has exactly in mind the same thing that the writer of the book of Hebrews does in Hebrews chapter 5 toward the end of that text, where he says to those brethren, as seem like they've been Christians for some time, and he says there that they should have been Christians long enough that they were teaching someone else even the milk of the Word, the elementary principles of Christ, they were needing someone else to teach them those things. And in that particular passage, he was really admonishing them. He was rebuking them. He says you should have moved past that point. I don't believe that's exactly what Peter is saying here in our text that we're looking at this morning. He is saying that the Word of God is that pure, spiritual, sincere milk. That is to be our longing as children of God. In order for us to do that, though, as we just talked about in the previous point, we must first be free from ourselves, free from the flesh. We must put away self and sin again so that we can have that focus, so that we can have that longing, that yearning, that desire for the pure, unadulterated, untampered Word of God. And so in this respect, what Peter commands and instructs us here in this text, I think it's very similar to the instruction of James. If you turn over there for just a moment to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, at the end of that chapter, he talks to us about the Word of God and talks to us about how we should view the Word of God and how we need to come to the Word of God. And he says there in verse 21, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Doesn't it sound an awful lot like what Peter is saying to us here in verse 1? "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, long for the pure milk of the Word." We have to get a lot of things out of our life. We have to get a lot of things out of our minds, out of our hearts, out of our mouths, so that we can truly long for the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, and perhaps only you can answer this question. Maybe your spouse can help you in answering this, I don't know. But is there anything that is holding you back from craving God's Word if you are not? If you are a child of God and you don't have this longing that a baby has for milk, is there anything that is holding you back from doing that? If there is, what is that particular thing? Or maybe it's several things. Maybe it is envy. Maybe it is hypocrisy. Maybe it is jealousy. Maybe it is strife. Maybe it is one of those sins that really is selfish to the core. If that is the case for you, are you working diligently to put it aside? Not that you have to do that on your own, but with the Lord's help and the strength that comes from Jesus Christ, are you diligently working to lay that aside so that you can truly long for the pure spiritual milk that is the Word of God? If we are going to be like newborn babies, we must be people who are daily longing for the Word of God. We need to be taking advantage of opportunities that we have to get into the Word, to not just read and study and meditate upon the Word ourselves as we go from day to day, but to come together as we have this morning, to stir one another's minds up to the Word of God, to stir one another's minds up to love and to good works, and to help one another feed that desire that we all ought to have for the Word of God. That's how we are like newborn babies. We're not going to follow the text exactly as Peter has it here in 1 through 3. But going to the end at verse 3, we want to think about this question, why? Why is it important that we are like newborn babies? Why must we set self and sin aside? What is our reason for constantly craving the Word when there are so many other things that we could be doing with our time, with our energy, with our effort, with our talents, with all the resources that God has given to us? Why, for those of us who are children of God, again, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, those who have been redeemed by the Word of God, what is our reason for constantly craving His Word? And the answer is found in verse 3 of our text. We do that because we have tasted God. The New American Standard uses the word "if" here to begin this verse, saying that if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Other translations perhaps really help us to understand, get the sense of the meaning of that little word. Other translations use words like "because" or "now that" or even "since." And I want you to remember again who Peter is writing to here. He's not writing to people who are out in the world who need to come to Christ. He is writing to those who are already Christians. And he is saying to them and to us that we have tasted the goodness of God. We have tasted the graciousness of God. We have tasted the kindness of God. So he is saying to them and to us that we really have done that. He doesn't use the word "if" here in the sense of, well, maybe you have tasted God's kindness and maybe you haven't. He is saying that you have tasted that. We have really tasted the Lord. So how do we do that? How do we taste God? How do we experience God? How do we come to know who God is? How do we come to know that God is a good God, that God is a God of grace, that God is a good God of kindness? Certainly we can learn some things about God by just looking out into His creation, can't we? Even as Brother Todd mentioned in his prayer this morning, those of us who had the opportunity last week to look up into the sky on Monday afternoon and to look at the eclipse, we can learn something about God, can't we? We can learn something about His awesome, unlimited power and His glory and His majesty and a lot of good characteristics about God just by looking into His creation. We can learn something about God, certainly by our experience in life, that all of us, whether we are people who believe in God or not, whether we are people who obey God or not, that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He sends the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. We all, in some sense, have experienced the kindness and the goodness and the grace of God just by living in His world. But I would suggest to you this morning that the way that we really come to know God's good and gracious and kind character is through this book. It is by reading, it is by studying, it is by meditating on, it is by living God's Word in our life. I like a lot of what the psalmist has to say actually in Psalm 119 about the Word of God, but I want to take you to just one quick passage here in that long psalm. Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104. Notice what the psalmist says here about how he reacted to the Word of God, how he came to the Word of God. He says in verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, from your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." When we taste God's Word, we should be like the psalmist. It should be a very sweet taste to us because it enables us to have understanding. It enables us to understand not just some commands of God, not just some instructions of God. It enables us to understand God Himself, to really understand His character, to really understand His plan for our salvation, to really fully understand His will for our life. And so without a growing knowledge and a daily application of God's Word, I would suggest to you that we cannot really taste God in the way that He wants us to. We cannot fully experience His goodness and His grace and His kindness without coming to His Word over and over and over again. We this morning who are the Lord's have tasted God because we have tasted His good Word. Therefore, let that motivate us to be like newborn babies and abstaining from evil and in craving those things that are good. If we will do that, there is a great result that will occur in our life. At verse 2, the Apostle Peter says here, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." What is the result of us tasting God's good Word? What is the result of longing every day for it so much that it works in us and it helps us to put away sin and it makes us into the people God wants us to be? The result of that, Peter says, is that we grow up in Christ. We grow up in respect to salvation. And as we grow into the image of Christ and we look more and more like Jesus Christ every day in our character, in our attitude, in our speech, in our actions toward other people, as we grow up in Christ, the end result of that is that we get to experience eternal salvation with Him. You know, just as physical milk is the very thing that a newborn baby needs to grow, it is really the one thing that a newborn baby needs to grow, so spiritual milk is the very thing that those who are born again need to grow in Christ. And it is not just for those who are new converts. It is not just for those who are immature Christians. It is for those of us who have been Christians for some time. We need to continue to return to the Word of God. We need to continue to feed that desire and that desire to grow within us as our life progresses, as our walk with Christ goes on. We need that spiritual milk every day. I like what the Apostle Peter said in his second letter, and we have looked at this passage, I think, already a time or two this year in relation to our theme for this year of growing in grace and knowledge. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 11. And maybe Peter kind of puts all of this together for us in a nice, neat package here. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, Where do we get that true knowledge of Christ? I realize that the audience that Peter is writing to here didn't have the completed revelation of God as we do, but we have that today. And we can only have the true knowledge of Christ by coming again and again to His Word. Verse 4, "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Think again about what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, that we are putting away all of the corruption in the world. We are putting away all the sin, all of the desires of the world, all of the desires of the flesh. And having done that, verse 5 of our passage here in 2 Peter 1, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." Maybe we've forgotten the kindness of the Lord that was extended to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we became Christians and we experienced in that sense the kindness and the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. "Therefore," He says at verse 10, "brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things," the things of 5, 6, and 7, those qualities, "you will never stumble, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Listen, maintaining our craving for God's Word results in His Word again working in our life and changing us into the image of His Son Jesus Christ so that we never stumble and we enter in to His eternal kingdom. There are lots of lessons that we can learn from newborn babies that we, even as adults, if we are children of God, we need to take those lessons and apply them to our life. As we live for Christ this week, let's all take Peter's instructions to heart. Let's not let them pass us by, but let's really take them to heart so that we can be like newborn babes. Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not, we would encourage you, we would urge you, we would beg you to become just a child of God. Our song of encouragement and invitation is number 96 in our supplement book, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Certainly for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, He is our friend. Jesus said Himself in the Gospel of John that you are my friends if you do what I command you. And for those of us who are Christians, we are professing, as we talked about last week, that we are being obedient to the will of God, that we are being obedient to the commands of Jesus Christ. If you are outside of Christ, though, you are living outside of the will of God. You are living outside of His plan for your life and for all mankind. Jesus is still your friend in the sense that He went to the cross, as Jesus even said again about Himself in the Gospel of John, that greater love has no man than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. He laid down His life not just for those people who would be obedient to Him and come and follow Him, but He laid down His life for every person in the world. He loves every person that has been created in the image and likeness of God so much that He was willing to suffer the pain and the shame of the cross of Calvary and to shed His precious, innocent blood for you and for me, that thereby we could be forgiven of our sins, and we could be adopted sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, and we could have that hope of living with Him eternally in His home. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you become one? You can come before this audience and confess your faith that Jesus truly is the Christ, He is the Son of God. You can come this morning, you can repent of your sins and turn away from all of those sins. And you can come this morning and you can be baptized into the waters of Jesus Christ, have all of your sins washed away, and rise to walk in newness of life. That doesn't mean that it's easy sailing from there on. As we looked at this morning in Peter's instructions, we still have to continue to put away ourselves and to put off those old sins of the old man that want to come back into our life, and we have to continue to grow in Christ by growing in His Word and daily associating with His Word. If as a Christian you have sinned against God and you have fallen away from Him, because of God's love and mercy and grace, you can come back to Him, and He will forgive you if you will just repent and confess those things to Him. If you are struggling, you remember, as Peter instructed us, that God has certainly been kind and continues to be kind and good and gracious to you. But maybe you are just struggling in the desire that you ought to have for the Word of God. It's just not there for whatever reason. And you are struggling to be a Christian each day. And you need the help and the encouragement and the prayers of the saints here. However we can be of help to you this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to do that now as we stand and as we sing.